From Baton Rouge to Minneapolis to Dallas, it has been a fraught week in the United States. Tonight, University of Massachusetts Amherst Professor Sut Jolly is speaking at Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts about race relations in America. Jolly is the founder and executive director of the Media Education Foundation. He is best known for producing and directing films on politics, violence, and social issues. Jolly spoke with WAMC about how he thinks the election of Barack Obama affected racial identity in the United States.
Well, in a very ironic way, the election of Obama let loose a wave of racism that we actually hadn't seen for a while. It was almost as if people were free now that we've elected a black president. It shows that we can't possibly be racist because, you know, we've shown how liberal we are. And that allowed people the freedom to say all kinds of things and to think all kinds of things without labeling themselves as racist. So in one sense, it's been in terms of the perception of race. I mean, for black people, you know, having a black president has been incredibly important as a symbol of, you know, given that the images of black people, you know, historically have been as, you know, as criminals, as pimps, as murderers, as slaves, that Obama, actually, and before him, I would say Bill Cosby, freed black America from the shackles of those images. And so there's enormous pride for black Americans about having a black president. The flip side of that has been that for a lot of white Americans, they no longer see racism as a problem. They no longer think that racism is a structural impediment to black people because if Obama can make it, then everyone should be able to make it. And if you have black people who are still predominantly at the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder, who people who can't make it, who are stuck in prison, well, then it must be their own fault. And so it's had this dual thing. On the one hand, incredible pride, at the same time, a denial of racism.
And do you think, though, any progress has been made over the 8 years since the election of President Obama?
I quite honestly don't think there's been any progress that's been made. Partly because Obama himself, when he's spoken about this stuff, has spoken to the black working class, in a very, very kind of stern way, almost lecturing them about, you know, that they need to work harder and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And so Obama himself, through his own rhetoric and the way in which he's talked to other black people, has also tended to blame those people themselves for the situation they find themselves in. And so, as I said, ironically, I think actually race relations has gone backwards in that time. I mean, if I had to describe it, I would describe it as kind of one step forward, which is we're seeing a black man in an incredibly powerful position and a very, you know, incredibly articulate and competent and smart black man in a powerful position. That's the one step forward. The two steps back is that people say, look at that, and then dismiss the concerns of the vast, vast majority of black people as simply things that's wrong with themselves, rather than thinking about how the society is structured.
And your talk tonight is titled "The Crisis of Whiteness in the Age of the Black Presidency." I wanted to learn a little bit more what you mean specifically when you say the crisis of whiteness.
Well, I think the crisis of whiteness is what we're seeing in the presidency of Donald Trump right now. I started to think about this a little bit differently. I just got back from a visit to the UK, to the United Kingdom, and I arrived there 2 days or the day before the referendum for the exit from the European Union. After the referendum where they voted to leave the European Union, I was listening to people on the news saying why they'd voted the way they had. And it was the same stuff that you hear now from the Trump supporters. It was like, there's too many immigrants, they're taking our jobs. And significantly, they said, you know, we want our country back, as though it'd been taken over. And I started to think at that point that Trump's appeal is not just American, that there are much broader things that are going on in the global economy that are making these, that's providing an audience that thinks that they've been hard done by, and that audience is being appealed to specifically around their racial identity, And what I call about the crisis of whiteness is there's been a sense among many white people that this is, this is a white country, that they're entitled to certain things. And that is now being challenged. And the challenge that's coming from a black president, from being able to see a black person in a very powerful position of power, that's coming, that came from the civil rights movement in the 1960s, that's coming from the Black Lives Matter movement right now, that's challenging a lot of people's, white people's identities in terms of how they think about this country. And they're reacting. This is a backlash. And the backlash is that they think that they're blaming everything around issues of race, and think that it's actually that they are now, the victims of racism. So that's what I mean when I say a crisis of whiteness. It's a crisis around a notion of what it means to be a white American. And Trump is giving, he's giving an answer saying, no, you can be, we can be great again. White America can be great again once we take care of these, people who've taken over our country.
The title of the talk is In the Age of the Black Presidency. If you say that race relations, racial identity hasn't improved while a black man is in the presidency, what in your mind would it take to improve race relations and racial identity in this country?
The major thing that it would take to improve race relations and racial identity, or how we think about it, is we have to have an honest conversation about the history of racism in America. And what I mean by an honest conversation is we just have to acknowledge history, and we have to acknowledge how much racism has been embedded in what we think of as the American past. And until we can come to that, until we understand how the wealth of this society has been built on, on the labor of black people, of brown people, etc., until we can start to really understand that, we will just be having these conversations, which are which are simply lashing out, and they're really based on an ignorance of history. So what we need is, and it's not easy, there's no simple answer to this, what we need is an honest conversation, that's an intellectually honest conversation, about the way in which race has structured American history. Once you have that, once you have that understanding, then you can think of, okay, how do we get past this impasse that we're in?